So we are holding on Iontestamod Vaz, fourth line from the top. We learned yesterday the last thing we talked about was cases where you rent, were a case where you rented a ship and the ship sank, taking your wine with it. And we talked about what are the dinim when you're responsible, when the renter is going to be responsible to pay for part of the rent or maybe all of the rent, or when he's entitled to get his rent reimbursed, depending on the situation. We said whether it was that he specifically said, I'm going to rent you this ship, whether the guy said, I'm going to take this specific shipment of wine, or whether it was both or neither. So now another case involving renting ships. Turn it up on him. Somebody rents a ship, and he unloaded it in the middle. He unloaded it in the middle of the trip. And we'll see soon where the parokah. We'll see soon. The Gemara will take. We'll bring up the possibility that parokah means something else. But for the moment, that's the assumption that it means he was supposed to go from here to. He was supposed to go from point A to point B. Halfway through the trip, he decided to unload the stuff from the ship. Well, what he does is he pays half the rent that he was supposed to for that trip. The ain loyal about tarumis, and the owner of the ship can only have tarumis, can only have an objection to him for making it harder for him. So the question is, hey, if you dummy, what's the scenario over here that you, on the one hand, he has to pay half the wage, and on the other hand, all the guy has is tarumis? Are we talking about that the owner of the boat would easily be able to find somebody else to rent it in this place halfway along the trip? Well, then I'm obviously tarumas. And what does he have any valid reason? We established before in the last few days that even though tarumas is not usually something actionable and based in, there still needs to be grounds for it. You can't just say I have tarumas, Sam, because I'm beruigas on you. There has to be a valid reason. So when we had before, for example, that workers quit in the middle, you have the reason for tarumas against them. They quit voluntarily. Here, why would you unload your stuff halfway through the trip? The pashtus, because you're going to sell it. The pashtus, because you found local buyers for it. So in that case, then what does the owner of the ship have any reason for tarumas? Fine. You took it halfway. Now he'll easily find somebody else able to rent it, and that's that. And the idola kamashka flagura, and if he's not going to be able to find anybody else to rent it to, then you're actually causing him a loss. Kole agra bori shalumi. Bukhura then, yes, you should have to pay the entire rent. Okay, Tosfos says not strictly speaking the entire rent. The second half would be like we learned at the beginning of the parak, kapoyo bottle, because after all, there's a difference between taking an empty and a full ship. But still, he's suffering a loss, because now he has to go, now he has to return, like this, he would have expected to go the whole trip and get a full rental amount for it. Like this, he's only getting half. He can't find anybody else to rent it to. He winds up having to take it back home with nothing to show for it. So, yeah. The answer is la'olam b'kamashka flagura. Okay, no, we are talking about a case where the owner of the ship could have found can find somebody else to rent it to. Ela, my is the tarumas. So in that case, we said then lachora, what does he have any reason for tarumas for? It shouldn't be a problem for him to be able to rent it out to somebody else. The thing is mishum rafsa the sphinta, because he does have a valid reason for objection. Because the fact of the matter is unloading the ship and then you bring more stuff on, not costly, but it weakens the ship. Rashi translates ru'ua spina. That's like this. The ships were made out of wood in those days, remember. The more you walk back and forth, taking bundles and packages in and out, the more it weakens the ship. So it's not something really that you can put a dollar value on, so not necessarily can you make them responsible to pay for it. Yeah, so it's not really something that you can put a specific dollar value on. Nevertheless, though, he has valid reason for tarumas. But the question is, no, no, actually, we should be able to quantify it somehow. We should be able to say that a ship will depreciate X amount more because you're taking the load off it at an unexpected time, and then more loads are going to be put on it. Another load, somebody else, I'm going to rent it to somebody else, he's going to put another load on.
You'd evaluate,
I don't know, I'm not a ship owner, I have no idea, but I guess if I was. Yeah, I guess if I was, I'd figure, if I was a ship owner, I don't know, I'd figure something out, yeah. So you're back to then. So what do you mean? There's only tarumas. So rather we have to answer elamai parka de parka l'toya nevegave. No, so we have to answer differently. We assumed at the beginning when we said o parka l'abachasi aderach, we assumed it meant that he unloaded his bundles, went and found somebody else to sell them to, for example, and then And now you, the owner of the boat, are going to have to go find somebody else to rent out the boat to and carry another cargo to go the rest of the way, or to go back, as the case may be. Now we're going to answer differently. The Paukala Toyone Begave. Rashi explains that that means, in the middle of the way, the one who rented the boat went and put more bundles, more boxes on it. So now, we're not talking about a case that, to begin with, he only said, I'm taking X amount on it, in which case Saki has no right to put any more on it. He can load the boat until the capacity that it can take, which we'll see on Peyomid Aleph, we'll see the second mission over there, we'll talk about the capacity of boats. But like this, so he started out in the first place putting 10 boxes on it. Then when they come to the halfway point, he says, you know what, I have a warehouse over here, I have another 5 boxes over there, I want to bring them on board the ship also.
The renter.
They're the renter. Okay, so we'll talk in a second. Let's first learn the couple of lines, and then we'll go back and see how Tosis
learns
it.
So
he's loading more stuff onto the boat.
Time.
On the same, well, yeah.
Well, that's an additional problem.
No. So the question is, Elamai Tarumas. In that case, then what is the Tarumas involved? Bechora, it's still well within the capacity of the boat. We're not talking about overloading the boat or any such thing. No, but you can say, fine, he'll have to pay extra for that rental. But when we're saying Eimer Olivet Tarumas, that even though he's paying for the extra rental, the guy still has Tarumas, well, why? He's getting his full value out of it. The reason is, Mishim Shinri Daita. Because the owner of the boat who goes along with the boat can complain that there's a change in the plan. I figured we can get there faster and come back faster. Now, because the boat is more heavily loaded, we're going to have to go slower, and therefore it's going to take more time. I expected to be back home on such and such a date, and like this, we're getting delayed. So it's not an actionable claim.
If they do the deal,
according to the guy who had...
So another possibility is that the reason why the guy can have Tarumas is because he says like this. In those days, when we talk about ships over here, when we talk about boats, we're not really for the most part, we're not talking about ocean-going or sea-going boats. We're talking about river boats, like barges. The typical way, even nowadays, you have such a thing, they would be, nowadays they work with diesel engines or whatever, but in those days, the common thing was that they would be towed along by people or by horses or whatever. Yeah, well, we'll learn later on in the Masechta certain dinim about how
of the Bikar.
Yeah, there's that. We'll learn later in the Masechta, for example. We'll learn in the ninth Perek, we'll talk about dinim that are involved if you have a forest near the riverbank, how far back do you have to cut your trees in order to give room for the people or the animals or whatever who are schlepping the boats to be able to go by. Anyway, the point is that is the normal way of doing things. Now, what happens over here? When the ship is lighter, it rides higher in the water. So I can go closer to the edges of the river or the canal or whatever, and I only need shorter ropes to have it towed. Now, like this, you're putting more weight on it. We're going to have to go deeper in the river, more in the middle of the channel. Therefore, we're going to need longer ropes, and you didn't tell me that I should make sure to have the longer ropes available. We have to go buy them now after the fact on the road where they may even be more expensive or whatever. So it's not necessarily something quantifiable, but again, he does have a valid reason for Tarumas. Tosfos explains differently. Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Hanano that, no, the title of the Toyonei Begavei means something else. It means he leaves the stuff that's on the boat still on the boat. But what he does is, halfway through the trip, instead of taking, the original plan was he was going to take this stuff to his destination and sell it over there. Instead, halfway through the trip, he finds somebody who's willing to buy that consignment of merchandise and continue taking it on the boat onward. So from now on, instead of me, Reuven, being the owner of the cargo on the boat, and you, Shimon, the owner, are going along with it, now instead I'm getting off the boat because I'm done. I sold my stuff, and you're going to have Levi. So the Tarumas, therefore, so Shinri Daita means the guy has a valid argument that the owner of the boat has a valid Tarumas that, look, you're making me deal with somebody that I don't know before. What if he's an Adam Kasha? What if he's a tough customer or whatever? Like this, as far as I knew, I'm going to be the whole way with you, where you, I know I can do business with. That's one. Or Ashley Yaseira is, you need extra ropes because you still need to unload the first guy's stuff, whatever stuff he took with him that's not part of the cargo that he sold, just his own personal effects or whatever, and use other ropes to then use ropes to bring the stuff on. So there's wear and tear on the ropes. Okay. either way, the point is then the guy has tarumas, but nothing more than that.
He cannot have income, be contented.
Right. Turn it up. If somebody hires a donkey to ride on it, so we talked about yesterday that very often when you hired a donkey, you could be hiring it just to carry packages and you would walk, or you would actually hire it in order to ride on. So here, yeah. So since it's meant to be ridden on, it's not really meant for carrying packages. Then you have there's going to be limits how much you can load on it. So the one who is renting the donkey has rishus, even without making specific arrangements for this. He has the right to put on it ksusai, his clothes. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Hananel that the word is not ksusai, not his clothes, because obviously he needs clothes. It means rather the word should rather be kistai, meaning his pillow. However, the Ritva says no, it could be ksusai. It means not the clothes that he's wearing, obviously. It means another change of clothes that he'll need for his destination. Yeah, whatever. But that's to say, uleginusai, and his bottle or his jug, whatever, of water, umezonis shal oisaderech, and enough food for the entire trip. If he wants to put anything more on that, the donkey driver can object and say, I don't want you to put anything more on it because you may overburden it or whatever. Chamor maniachol of sa'odim, what about the donkey driver himself, who goes along with the donkey, can load up onto the animal sa'odim v'tevin, barley and straw, which we'll need for the animal's food, and his own food, shall oisa hayom for that day only. Any more than that, then the socher can object and say that if you overload it, then we'll have to go more slowly, etc. So, the question is, okay, so the key difference we're seeing over here is that the socher is able to put on their food for the entire trip, and the maskir, the owner of the donkey, who's going along with it, can only put enough food for the one day. Why the difference? So, hey, chidami. What's the obvious difference?
I'm renting. You are my driver. I should be able to keep most of the load.
That's not the point. The point still remains that as we're going to see, if I can easily buy food, if I, the socher, can easily buy food someplace as we go along the trip, why should what? Like you're thinking of it in terms of like luggage on a car, where yeah, there's enough luggage space to be able to put all this stuff. Here we're talking about a donkey. There's a limit how much it can carry before its strength starts giving out.
That's
fine. But why are we saying the entire trip? And what if the trip lasts 2 weeks? You know. So fine, you may have more of a right to put but the whole trip worth. If you can find places on the way with easy enough to find places to buy food, then the donkey driver should also be able to prevent the passenger from taking too much. Tell him you'll buy food on the trip. And if the situation is you're going through places where it's not going to be easy to buy food, then the socher also has no right to prevent the donkey driver from taking food for the entire trip. No, so the case where we need to be told this sin is, if it's the kind of situation, you may not be able to find places in the middle of the day, but it is places where whenever you get someplace in the evening, you're going to be stopping someplace to stay for the night. It's a situation where in those places you'll be able to look around, you'll be able to find some, you'll be able to ask around in the city for a store to be able to buy food, food for yourself, food for the animal. Therefore, chamer davke lemitzrach lemizban. So therefore, it's normal for the donkey driver. He does this kind of thing all the time. It's normal for him to go start asking around where he can buy food. Therefore, he can only take food for the one day. And yes, when we get there tonight, you'll buy your food for the next day, and so forth. You can only take a bit at a time, and any more than that, the socher has the ability to object, that then it'll cause us to go slower.
Because
the socher has no problem with the animal getting tired. It's not his animal. It's the chamer, it's the donkey driver that would have a problem with the animal getting tired. The socher's problem would be what's going to make us go slower. On the other hand, it's not usual for the socher. He doesn't usually take this trip. Also, he may be a more important person, where it's kind of beneath his dignity to go start asking around the town where there's food. Therefore, he can be expected. Therefore, he's allowed to take food for the entire trip. This is one of those many things. This is one of those many things in Dini Momenus where it's really Hakol Kaminagam Adina. We're talking about over here in a situation, in a place where there's no specific minhagim. Where there are, then obviously, you know, Minagam Mokum takes precedence. Yeah, nowadays, if you take a taxi or whatever, then there, you know, there, whatever it is. If you rent a car, they don't put any limits on how much luggage you can put in there. Within reason, of course, you know.
I'm thinking of those pictures of the Arabic.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. Onwards. Okay. If you rent a donkey for a man to ride on it, then you cannot have a woman ride on it because, no, not talking about at the same time, obviously not. You said you're going to have one person ride on it. The point of the matter is, women are, the Ben Yoyada explains two things. First of all, women are not as used to riding as men, so therefore they don't know how to distribute their weight as well. So therefore, even if she's the same weight, even a woman who's the same weight as a man, we're going to talk in a minute about a pregnant woman or whatever, but even if we're talking about she's not pregnant, she's the same weight, but still, other things being equal, a woman isn't as comfortable riding. Second of all, Ben Yoyada also adds that yes, in general, in those days, women rode side saddle, so they're also, her weight is not distributed evenly on the animal. On the other hand, if you rented a donkey for a woman to ride on, then you're allowed to have a man ride on it. Foshan, by the way, argue what about if you did have a woman ride on it? Is that actionable enough that if then the donkey were to die, the owner of the donkey would have the ability to say you were Mashana, you have to pay, or maybe not. Maybe there is a difference, but it's not significant enough. We'll see later on. We'll see what the significant difference is between one and another load. Maybe it's not significant enough that it could actually take you to Beis. No. Tosfos point. No, but that's the thing. Tosfos points out when it comes to we're going to say over here that if Isha ben Gerlo ben Chana. Now, when it comes to if you rented a donkey for a woman to ride on it, then it doesn't matter. You're allowed to have any size woman ride on it, whether big or small. And Tosfos points out, yes, obviously the same thing applies to men. The reason why the Braitha didn't mention it is because it's obvious. Men come in many different sizes. The chiddush with women is we're going to say afilu mu'beres v'afilu menika. You're allowed to have a woman ride on it in that case. If the deal was that you're going to have a woman ride on it, it's allowed to be even if she's pregnant or even if she's nursing. Where then she's
because then she's having the baby with her.
So the question is, hashta menika amret mu'beres mibaya. If you're telling me that she's able to ride on it if she's nursing, where then it's her and the baby, two separate people. And how much more so, Muberes Miboya, why do we need to say that if she's pregnant, where obviously she can't set the baby aside, it's part of her. Amrapapa Muberes Vihiminika Karma. So the Papa says, right, what the Braitha means is even if she's pregnant and nursing, so she's nursing her older baby and she's pregnant with the next one, even then, so then you have the equivalent of two people. Nevertheless, it's still allowed because once you made the deal with the owner that you're going to allow a woman will be allowed to ride on it, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter her size or doesn't matter who she has with her.
That's the same thing.
Tosfos says a girsa the other way around. That the Gemara's question is. That the question is the other way around. If anything, once the baby is born already, we have this concept in halacha called chai noisei tashnoi. A living creature, again, it's about distribution of weight. A living person is able to naturally, even a baby is able to distribute their weight in a way that the baby, when it's in its mother's womb, cannot. So therefore, according to that, but it's still how the baby holds its own weight, kind of. So that's the question. So that's the Rebbeinu Tam explains that's what the Gemara means. In other words, if you're saying that she's able to go when she's pregnant, where the baby is inside her and doesn't distribute its weight, mechora, how much more so if she's nursing a baby? And again, the answer is more better to be menika. It means that she's both. I'm gonna buy it. Shmamina binisa akarsa tapwa. You can see from this discussion that we're mentioning over here that we're mentioning about a pregnant woman versus a non-pregnant one. You can see from that when it comes to buying a fish, the weight of it depends on the size of the stomach. The bigger the stomach, the more it weighs. But the question is, am I nakamina? So what's the practical difference of knowing that? And the answer is lemecha homemka, as far as buying. Meaning, if you see somebody selling a fish with a big stomach, make sure, now that this, the stomach is made up of the kishkis, nobody eats fish kishkis, so make sure that the guy takes out the kishkis before he sells it to you, because otherwise you're paying for something that you're not going to eat anyway. That's the importance of knowing the disease.
What's the metaphor?
The metaphor is, in other words, that we see. So according to Rashi, the metaphor is we see. In other words, that a pregnant, the point where we're saying that you're allowed to have even a pregnant woman, et cetera, the point is you should know that her major increase in weight comes from the fact that she's pregnant. The Tosfos asks, among other things, then what's the chiddush in that? Obviously, a pregnant woman weighs more than and therefore, Tosfos again answers in accordance with their explanation about pregnant versus nursing. That if you were to take the same baby and put it outside the mother, we just said it wouldn't weigh as much. Whereas when the baby is inside the mother, we're saying it weighs more. Therefore, you see from there. Therefore, we can analogize to that when you're buying a fish and the kishkis, which are also a non-living thing inside. If the kishkis don't carry their own weight, then therefore they weigh it down more than they would. They weigh it down more than it would otherwise, and therefore again make sure that they're removed before you buy the fish.
But the pregnant,
indeed, and Tosfos mentions that. That's the point. In other words, it's not only the baby doesn't distribute its own weight, right? Also, Tosfos mentions she feels her limbs feel heavier, there's blood and other fluids in there. Yeah, so all of that factored in. Yeah.
Beat to the punch.
What's that? Okay. Mishnah says, if you rent a cow to plow on a mountain, and instead you took it and plowed it in the valley, where it's level and there's fewer rocks, im nishbara kankan potter. So then, if during the plowing the kankan breaks, then you're potter. The kankan, Rashi says, is the plow blade itself. Some of the other Mephoshim explain that the kankan is actually the handle with which you hold the blade. Either way, the point is, if you go the wrong way, either way, as we'll see in the Gemara, if you go the wrong way, like this, you usually plow in straight lines back and forth across the field. If you start curving or whatever, then it's very possible for it to break. But if you were supposed to be doing it in the mountain, and instead you do it in the valley, where it's less likely for it to break, then you're potter, because it's an onus.
But
if you rented it with the understanding that you're going to plow in the valley and instead you plow on the mountain, in Nishbrakan kan chayev. So then if the kankan breaks, then you're chayev because there's rocks over there and then you made it more likely for it to break. Similarly, lodush bekitnis v'dosh b'tur. Similarly, if you rented a cow to thresh kitnis, beans, whatever, and instead you use it to thresh grain, and it slipped, potter, because grain is less slippery than kidney. So if the guy was willing to rent you the animal in order to thresh kidneys, which are slippery, and you would have been potter if it slipped, because mesa machnas galacha or whatever, how much more so if you're threshing grain, which is less slippery? But if you rented it to thresh grain, and instead you use it to thresh beans, then you're chayev if it slipped, because beans are slippery, and therefore you can't call it an oinus. It was you did something different, and therefore you're chayev. It's two different cases, that's all. One is two related cases, but it's not really the same thing.
Tasty, kind of like flowery kind of thing.
Yeah, but threshing over here isn't turning into flour. That's grinding. That's to get to get them out of the shells and whatever. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, okay. So we said in the Mishnah the case where you were supposed to be plowing on the mountain and instead you plowed in the valley or vice versa, and we said that you're chayev or potter. What about heichad v'loy shami ba'man mishalim? What about, suppose that you didn't do anything different? You rented the animal to plow in the mountain. You rented the animal together with the equipment, of course, to plow in the mountain, and you went on the mountain, or in the valley, and you went in the valley. And the plow broke. Then who pays? Meaning, Rashi says, that you have to figure like this. Okay. Based on our Mishnah, obviously we understand you who rented the animal are potter. But the question would be, because you went in the valley like you were supposed to, or you went in the mountain like you were supposed to. But the question is, rather, since after all it broke, what about the people who were actually doing the actual plowing? You rented the cow, but you're not necessarily doing the actual plowing. You're supervising it. You have workers who are working for you, who do the actual plowing. Which one of them do we say is more chayav? The Rambam understands this whole situation to be that we're saying even when you the soicher achayev doesn't mean you're chayev and that's it. It means you're entitled to go and sue the workers themselves because they're the immediate cause of it. You allowed it to be used in the wrong place on the mountain when it was supposed to be in the valley, and therefore you're chayev for that. However, the workers themselves, were, according to what we're saying over here, also they were also careless.
But even if you used it in the wrong place, it's really unfair to say, you know. It's
But that's the point. You're potter because you used it in the right place. The question is, though, the workers, on the face of it, were careless.
You shouldn't be potter in any case. If you break the
but that's the, no, but that's the point. In other words, the point is you have two different parties involved over here. You have you who rented it, and you have the actual people who were doing the plowing. Okay, so that's that. So the question is, if you the soicher are potter. What about the workers? Which of them is going to be chayav?
You're simply potter because you use it in the right way.
Yeah. So Tosfos also talks about this.
You rent a car and it breaks and you drive out of the driveway. It hurts his form.
Meitzah machmas malacha. Yeah, that's the case where you were the soicher or potter.
If the car breaks,
as soon as you drive out,
you're doing the normal thing with it. Yeah, that's called meitzah machmas malacha.
If you go off roading, then you're in trouble. But if you're just driving on the road. To have to come and give you a new car.
Indeed. This is called Mesa Masa Salaha, Anyway, that's what we're talking about. Tosfos talks about this also, let's learn it a little differently, Tosfos says. Let's learn that the scenario is the owner of the cow, the one who rented it out, also hires the workers to go along with it. So unlike what Rashi and Rambam are learning that you the soicher rented them, according to Tosfos it's the master who rented them. Still, they have the ability to say, okay, we agreed that we're going to plow in the valley. We didn't necessarily take on ourselves that we're going to guard the plow and prevent it from getting broken. I'm going to pop up the Nukit Parsha Mishalim. So the Papa says the one who is holding the goad is the one who has to pay. A goad is a stick with a metal tip. You use it to goad the animal to go in the right direction. So therefore, we figure that he must have been the one. He didn't lead the animal in the right path. He made it go off to one side or the other. Therefore, the plow got twisted and broke. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi says no. The one who's holding the actual plow, the kankan, is the one who pays. He must have dug it too deep into the ground, and therefore, if he hadn't dug it in so deep, a little bit of a going off the way wouldn't have broken it. The Hilchos said Nakat Mona Mishalim. The halacha is like Rav Shisha Breder of Idi. The one who is holding the plow is the one who has to break. However, the Iduchta, the Machtakid Gundri, however, if it's a place, if it's a field which is known to have rocks in it, then Tavayu Mishalim, and then both of them. So Rashi says, because the Suffolk, at that point, we don't really know who was the one more responsible, the one with the goad or the one holding the blade.
Tosfos says,
if it's a matter of Suffolk, Sumchus is the one who says that in that case you divide it. The Chachamim hold differently. So Tosfos says it's not a matter of a Suffolk. It's a matter of, we have to say both of them were Pesheya. Because it's rocky, it's very easy for the blade to break. Therefore, each one needs to be extra careful. The one with the goad needs to be extra careful not to go even an inch off the way. And the one holding the blade has to be careful not to let it go, and not to let it go in too deeply. Yeah.
That is true.
Okay. Now the Gemara goes off onto a topic a couple of the Mechorishim asked why on earth this belongs over here, and they haven't been able to figure out why this next piece of Gemara belongs over here. It doesn't seem to have anything. I haven't seen any of the Rishonim talk about it. It's only a couple of Achronim talk about it, and they just say it's Tzorech here and why this is over here. Okay. Namely, Amar Rav Yechanan, Hamoicha Parah L'Chaveiro. If somebody sells a cow to somebody else, And he tells him before he sells it to him, parazu nagchonesi, you should know this cow is prone to gore, nashchonesi, it's prone to bite, batonesi, rabsonesi, it's prone to kick or to lay down. Now, let's say it actually had one of these mumin, the sunfei bena mumin, but he included it together with other mumin that it did not have. Meaning, in other words, according to Rashi, there's a couple of different ways that Rishonim learn this Gemara over here. Let's start with Rashi. So, let's say, for example, this animal really was a nashchonis. It really is an animal that's prone to biting. But he mentions it together with other ones, nashchonis, batonis, rafsonis. And later on, the guy buys the animal, and he finds it is indeed nashchonis. It's not any of the other ones. It's not nashchonis, not rafsonis, etc. Hareza mechachtos. Then it is a mechachtos because what happened? The buyer looked it over. He realized that it didn't have any of the other women. He realized it wasn't prone to gore. It wasn't prone to kick, etc. So therefore, he figures, you know what? All of it is probably not true. The guy is probably just saying this in order to, you know, in case later on, you know, sort of like you say, you know, as is, you know. So therefore, I have no particular reason to believe that it has this particular mum, which it turns out that it actually has when he put it together with a bunch of other mumin that it doesn't really have. So therefore, it's a mekachtos. On the other hand, mum zeh, mum acher, on the other hand, if the guy tells him it has this specific mum as well as other mumin, ain't a mekachtos, then it's not a mekachtos because then since he only mentioned one specific mum, then he was warned that he should have checked it out. There's a couple of other explanations among Rishonim what exactly is going on over here. The Rif and the Rambam and a number of other Rishonim have a different explanation, which boils down to that he, not like Rashi says, where it actually had one of these mumim, but he just included it with several others that it didn't. But rather, there's mumim that are obvious and mumim that are not obvious. He mentioned to him a number of obvious mumim, which is a number of the kind that you could just look at the animal and see right away whether it has or not. And he sees, and it doesn't have any of those. And then he mentions one non-obvious one which you would have to check out, to one which you would have to actually buy the animal and start using it or whatever in order to find out. And it turns out it has that.
And therefore,
it's a mekachtos. Because he looks at the ones. You mentioned, for example, that I'm going to give examples. You said, for example, the animal is blind. And then
you're saying only in this case, in the ones he doesn't see.
Yeah.
He thought you were being sarcastic about
basically, the same way as you said, for example, this animal is blind, and I can look and clearly see it's not blind, the same way he was sarcastic about everything else. Exactly.
This is sarcastic.
We learn similarly in a braisa. If somebody sells a maid servant to somebody else, he says this shivcha is an idiot. She's epileptic. She's also some kind of mental condition. Mishugas, Rashi says. What the difference between shoita and mishugas is, I don't know, but whatever. What? Okay, all right, whatever. Again, this shivcha actually had one mum and actually had one of these mumin, but he included it with the other ones that it doesn't have. Again, according to Rashi, according to Rashi, we're talking about none of them may be visible at the moment, but they're what do you call it? He mentioned one which she actually does have, but included it with some others that she doesn't. According to the Rif and the Rambam, it would be again we're talking about visible versus invisible mum. Hareza mekachtos. So therefore, hareza mekachtos. On the other hand, mum zeh, mum acher. But if he mentions specifically one mum that she has, let's say that she's epileptic. But you should know, she also has other unspecified mumim, ain't a mekachtos, and it's not a mekachtos if it turns out that she's epileptic, because you should have checked it out. Omelet of Acham.
Yeah,
I don't know, you take her to a doctor, you wait and see, I don't know, whatever. Omelet of Acham, bread the Rav al-Ravashi, hoyeb kolam mumin alolu mahu. What happens now if actually the para or the shivcha had all these mumim that he mentioned? But let's say, for example, Rashi says that the buyer really only cares about one of these. So in other words, he comes back and says that, look, this one was a deal breaker. The rest of the ones you mentioned nashchonis, nashchonis, batonis, rabsonis. That most of them I don't mind. Nashchonis, let's say, is a deal breaker. If the animal is nashchonis, I don't want it. All the other ones I don't care about. Now it turns out that it has all four of them. But he says, but he says that the fact of the matter is, I didn't realize you. Again, you mentioned four things. I figured, how can it possibly have all four things? So I discounted the whole thing, and now it turns out it has one thing. Yeah. Well, and the answer is, Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, Hachram Minin B'Shmei De Rava. Yes, we say in the name of Rava, Hoyeba Kolam Minalolo Ain's a Mekach Toes. It's not a Mekach Toes, because yes, you were told. You were told. The fact of the matter is, it does have all those movements. You ignored it. That's your problem. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Mishnah says, if a person rents a donkey to carry wheat on it, and instead he carries barley on it. Now barley is lighter than wheat. Barley is lighter than wheat, therefore chayev. So he is chayev if he loads it with more volume than now, because the amounts that we're going to be talking about over here in the, so you have to realize in measurements, even nowadays, you have these measurements of volume and there's measurements of width. Most of the measurements that we talk about throughout Shas tend to be measures of volume. A saw, a lesef, which we'll talk about soon, a kur. We often talk about them as if they were weights. Really, they're not weights. Really, they are masses. Really, they are volume. Really, they're volume, mass,
no,
whatever.
Volume.
Yeah.
But
like, fluid ounces are actually a measure of weight. But no, if you think of it in like the metric system, you have, for example, you have grams versus cubic centimeters. A gram is a measure of weight, cubic centimeter is a measure of volume. So, if you have, for example, a cubic centimeter of water will weigh 1 gram. That's the definition of it.
Right.
But a cubic centimeter of a cubic centimeter of lead will weigh 7 or 8 grams. Yes, specific density. Yeah. Okay, so in this case, barley weighs less than wheat. The grains are smaller. I don't know what it is exactly. Whatever. But whatever it is, they're lighter than wheat. So therefore, you added to the volume. You figured, well, since I'm taking less weight, I can make it up with volume. Chayev, so then he's chayev if the animal gets hurt or whatever, if he added more than the amounts that we're going to see, because it's bulkier, and therefore that's harder for the animal. Similarly, tzvua behavior le'atev, and similarly, if the deal was that he's going to use it to carry grain, and instead he used it to carry straw, same thing, chayev, again, if he increases the volume, mepesha nefach koshri kamatsui, because the extra volume is as hard for the animal as extra weight. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what that means. Well, two different possibilities. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what it means, and we'll see two different gersoys in the Mishnah of what this din means and what the practicalities are. Okay. What happens though if the deal was that he's going to use it to carry a lesach of wheat, and instead he brings a lesach of barley? A lesach is 15 saw. A lesach is 15 saw. Let's call it that. Put it this way: a mikveh is 40 saw, and the volume of a mikveh is anywhere between about 12 cubic feet according to the Avraham Chaim Nah, and about 24 cubic feet according to the Chazon Ish. So 15 will be a little bit more than a third of that. So whatever, however you want to figure it. So like this, it's the same lesach, it's the same volume, and because it's barley, it weighs less. Therefore, potter. So now if the animal gets damaged, you potter because it's the same volume and even less weight. The moisif amasoi chayev, but if he adds to the burden, then he's chayev if the animal gets damaged. But kama yosif amasoi v'yichayev, how much would he have to add to be chayev, what's the straw that breaks the camel's back? If it's a camel, the extra amount that makes you chayev is if you put on an extra saw. Shloisha kavim lachamur, and if it's a donkey, 3 kavim, which is half a saw. A camel can carry twice as much as a donkey, and as we'll see in the Gemara, the basic rule is if you're adding 1/30th of the maximum allowable load. If you go 1/30th over, then that makes you higher. Doesn't say. Horses in those days, usually only really rich people had horses. If you're dealing with horses, you didn't usually rent them out anyway. They were used for war, and they were used for really important people, kings and whatnot, and that's about it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, the Gemara says, it's Abaya Omer Kosher Kim Masui. When we say in the middle of the Mishnah, if Neshan Nefach Kosher Kim Masui, so that's Abaya's here, sir. That even though the volume is the equivalent of weight, meaning, in other words, that, so if you have, for example, a lesach of wheat versus a lesach of barley, the volume is the same. It's just as hard for the animal to carry one as to carry the other. Therefore, if you add on top of that, then you become chayav. You add the one-third.
The weight is it?
That's the point. In other words, that bias says it doesn't matter. That even though barley weighs less than wheat, it's the same volume, and that is just as hard for the animal to carry as a certain amount of weight. Rava amakasha lima suitsan, whereas Rava understands the Mishnah differently. That what it means is it's bad for the load. Meaning, if the weight of the barley ends up being equal to the weight of the wheat, and now the volume is more, then you have a problem. Then you have a problem. That's what creates the problem. If you were to have more volume but less weight, then Rava would say it would be fine. Name Abaya Amakasha Kimasri Tnan. He says like this: Nifcha Kitik. The extra the volume has the same. It makes the same burden on the animal as weight. Therefore, the emotive shlosha kavim chayev. So as soon as you add three kavim, which we said in the Mishnah is the 1/30th for the donkey, then you become chayev because now at that 1/30th of the maximum allowable volume. So again, the maximum allowable volume for a donkey is a lesser. Is a lesser 15 kavim. So therefore, if you add 1/30th of that, if you add 1/2 saw more, then at that point you have now at that point the weight will be equal more or less. However, the volume is greater because barley has greater volume than wheat, and therefore you become chayav at that point. Rav Amar.
When did you get the 1/7?
We'll see. We'll see soon. We'll see soon. A brayta. We'll quote that. I'm mentioning that ahead of time just to give you an idea. But that's how it is. Half a saw, 15 saw is 1/30. Yeah. We're going to see that rule holds good for all kinds of conveyance. Any kind of animal, any kind of ship, whatever. It's always the rule is 1/30th extra makes a half. Rav Amar. No. Kosher l'masritzan. Rav says that no. What it means is. The extra weight, the extra volume is only a problem if the weight is equal. Namely, tikla ki tikla, the weight is the same as other weight. You figure out first whether the weight is the same. The nifcha habitosis, and only then if there's an extra volume, then it's considered something extra, which would be mechayev. Again, same weight but extra volume. But in other words, if it was extra volume but less weight, then you'd be positive, according to Rava. Whereas according to Abaya, you'd be chayev in that case because you have more volume. Same volume. Well, not as much. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah. Again, let's put some numbers on it. Let's assume that the weight of a lesser of wheat is equivalent to a lesser plus, let's say, one calf of barley. Because barley is a little bit lighter than wheat, let's say adding one calf of barley makes the weight. According to Abaya, it would come out once you have your lesser of barley, from there we start counting how much you're allowed to add. Once you add three calves, even though you've only added two kavim worth of weight, and less even, two kavim of barley weigh a little bit less than two kavim of wheat, you're already chayav, because now you've put on the animal a volume equivalent to, a volume that is greater than the volume of wheat that you said you were going to carry. And then it's greater by three kavim. It weighs only two kavim more, doesn't matter. Whereas Rava would say, no, it would have to be that actually it weighs, that actually the weight would increase in order to be chayav. Well, let's look at the rest of the Mishnah. Lahavi lesach chitin, bahavi lesach safarin. If you said that you're going to you're renting the junkie to carry a lesach of wheat, and instead you carried a lesach of barley, you said safar. But imhoisif amasoi chayev. But the Mishnah continues: if you added to the weight, then you chayev. My lav shloishes kabin lechora. How much would you need to be to add in order to be chayev? To be kabin, like Abaye said. Only once you add three kabin, you're already chayev. The answer is loy saw. No, Rava could answer that Vim Moisif Amasoi Chayev means however much it takes to make the volume to make the weight of the barley equal to the weight of wheat. So let's say, for example, I was saying just now, let's say there's a difference of only a cab. No, the assumption is that the difference in weight is actually a saw. It takes 16 saw of barley to equal the weight of 15 saw of wheat. So therefore, according to Rava, only when you reach 16 saw of barley, which is now the same weight as the wheat and greater volume, only then will you be chayev. If you were to put on 15 and a half saw, so now you have more volume but still less weight than 15 saw of wheat would, you would be chayev, according to Rava. And that's we're saying, just the Mishnah mentions if you add to the load, but it means if you add to the load, according to Rava, enough to equal the weight of the wheat that you were going to bring, and also make the volume larger. Question is, well, what do you mean if you could add a saw according to that? The Mishnah continues, V'kama Yosef HaMasoi V'hei Chayev, how much do you have to add to be Chayev? Sum Chosem V'mishum R'meir, Sola Gomel Shloshes Kabin L'chamer. And we don't see anybody arguing on that. The answer is no. Hoch Gomer, no. Rava would say that these are two separate statements in the Mishnah. The first statement is saying, Im Yosef HaMasoi Chayev, and that means if you add enough to make the weight equal, and you also have larger volumes, 16 saw of barley instead of 15 saw of wheat, where they weigh the same amount, but now you also have more volume, and therefore it's harder for the end. That's when you'd be higher. But then the Mishnah
16 saw of barley.
That's what we're saying. Of wheat. That's what we're saying. But then, question becomes, Heichad the Loishani, now the Mishnah, according to Rava, now the Mishnah is telling us a separate state. Suppose you didn't change, suppose that you took the type of produce that you said you were going to, Chitin behavi chitin sa'odin behavi sa'odin, you said you were going to carry wheat, and you are in fact carrying wheat, you said you were going to carry barley, and you are in fact carrying barley, then, Hama Yosef, Hama Soi, behe chayev, then how much would you have to add to be chayev, is Sum Chosem Mishum Rameir, Sol Agam, or Shloshes Kavim Achamur. In other words, Rava would say, there's two different statements in the Mishnah. One's talking about how much you have to add if what you're carrying is lighter, is lighter per unit volume than what you were going to originally, like barley instead of wheat. And then the Mishnah continues, what about if you're carrying stuff which is the same gravity, the same weight per unit volume? Then once you add three kavim for a donkey, then you're higher.
So let's say
it's three kavim, but if instead of chitim you do sa'odim, then Rava says you have more leeway. You can put up to an extra saw. A kav is six saw. A saw is six kav. Sorry. Toshma, lahavi abrais says lahavi lesach chitim. If you rented the donkey to carry on it a lesach 15 saw of wheat, the heavy sheshes is sa'odim, and instead you carried 16 saw of barley, fire. Implying Hoshloshes Kabin Potter. You instead of 15 of wheat, you carried 16 of barley. You chayev. Fine. Rava would say that's the only case you chayev. Hoshloshes Kabin Potter. The implication of the Braisa is, but if you did 15 and a half saw, you would be Potter. According to Rava, that works out well. According to Abaya, why? You added three kabin. You added three kabin of volume. Who cares about the weight? The answer is, Hilgam Abaya b'mechik. Abaya would explain that Braisa is talking about mechikta. What is Mechikta? Rashi brings two possibilities. He brings from his Rebbeim and also from the Trivas Agaonim that Mechikta means barley which has been eaten up by insects, where insects have bored holes in it. It's much lighter, in other words. So Tosfos Rashi, though, says, I don't really like that shot because the fact of the matter is you have volume regardless. Who cares whether it was eaten by worms or not? So there, Tosfos answers on that's not a serious question. Once you have a really significant difference in weight between one and the other, yeah, the difference between wheat and barley, regular wheat, regular barley, 16 to 15, that's not enough of a difference, point to Abaya. when you have a huge amount of difference. So just gives an example. Let's say you rented the donkey to carry stone, and instead you're using it to carry feathers. There's no question you could add more volume even if one's out by a not suffer. You'd have to add a much greater volume in order to be tired. Because feathers weigh a lot less. So therefore, yes, it could be mechikta, meaning that when you're talking barley that has been eaten by insects, by bugs, by worms, then yes, you can get away with adding up to a salt and not just three carbon like in the normal. Anyway, Rashi himself says, I prefer a different explanation. Mechikta means there's two different ways in those days of measuring whenever you had solids. Anytime you're measuring solids in a container. You could do gedusha, where it's heaped up over the top of the over the top of the container, or you could have mechukah, where you sell it leveled. We'll learn in Bava Basra, and later this year, Bez Hashem, we'll learn the dinim as far as that as well. But for the moment, the difference is how much more you're getting. You have places, for example, where let's say this is a saw. You have places where the understanding is you're purchasing a saw of something. You're going to get a heaped amount. It's actually going to be more than a saw, sometimes in recipes, the heaping piece, yeah, whatever. Some places where, no, the minig is, this is a saw, we're going to measure, we're going to level it off, and that's it. So therefore, mechikta over here means, if you take what's nominally 16 and level it off, then you only have 15 and a half. So therefore, when we're saying sheshes yisayrim, doesn't mean literally 16, it means you poured in 16 and then you leveled it off, so you're left with 15 and a half, which is exactly what Abaye says you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We learn in a braisa.
So you need
to left. Yeah. So it makes sense to level it.
The worms thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Onward. Tananabonim. Tav lakata. Now we said that there's a limit to how much you can add for a donkey or for a camel. So now we're going to see the limits for other things as well. One calf is considered extra for a person who's carrying something on his shoulders. Meaning, again, the average person, a normal person can carry 30 calves. So therefore, if you add 130, if you add one extra calf and he gets injured, you're higher. Or we'll see in a second. A calf is about, well, again, a calf is a measure of volume, not really weight, but in terms of volume, it would be, let's say if it was flour or whatever, it would be about 3 pounds. About 3 pounds, they usually say.
90 pounds.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be working.
Yeah. In Megillah Rus, there's a thing over there where it says that Boyaz, after she spends the night over there in the granary, he gives her Sheish Sa'urdin. And then Gemara asks, what does Sheish Sa'urdin mean? Rashi brings it on the Pasuk over there. Doesn't mean literally six barley grains. Why would he give her only six barley grains? Doesn't mean six sa? How does a person normally carry six sa? We see that over here. That goes well with this. A saw is six cabin. Six saw would be 36 cabin, is more than you can expect even a man to carry, let alone a woman. No, this would be a two-thirds of a cab, I guess. Okay.
We can carry 30.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is 90.
Anyway, the Gemara ends up saying over there that it really was six barley grains, and he gave it to her as a symbolism. We'll learn about it in Sanhedrin next year. Okay, anyway, let's get going over here. Adriv la areva. If you're renting a small boat, then the amount you can add up to an adriv. An adriv is the same as a lesser, a half a saw, as we just talked about. Kur lesfina. If you have a normal size boat, then you can add an extra kur. Shloshes kur. Six kavim. A kur is 30 saw, 180 kavim. Shloshes kur in the burni gdola. And if it's a really large ship, then you can add three kur. Okay, we mentioned you can add a cab for an expert for a person. The question is, in Isid Le Motzi Bay, fine, but if the person realizes he can't carry that amount, Bar Dasu, he's not a person who has sense, L'shadye, let him throw it down. If he doesn't and he tries to carry the 31 cabin and gets injured, why is it your problem? So Abaye answers yes, but we're talking about you picked it up and before he even had a chance to put it down, he got a hernia, he got knocked down, yeah. Rava says you don't even need that. You could say that it didn't knock him down right away. All it means in the case of a person means if you want him, if you contracted with him that he's going to carry 30 calves and you want to put 31, you have to pay an extra for it. If you're going to put 30 and a half calves, you don't have to pay an extra for the half a calf. But you're going to put one extra calf where there's more of a chance that he may not be able to, you got to pay. Rav Ashi says, here's another way of understanding it. No. Even if the guy ends up getting injured later on, who suffer choshe hu denakit lei? What happens is this worker, when he finds that he's struggling with this 31 cab load, he doesn't realize that it's 31 cab, and you told him it's 30. He figured, is it really is 30? He figured, I must be having an off day. I must be a little weaker than usual. And therefore, he continues carrying it, and eventually he gets a hernia or breaks his leg or what have you. And therefore, you're chayev. And therefore, you, the employer, are chayev for misleading him. Okay, then we said kurla svidah shloshes kur in labruni gdola, that for a regular size ship, one kur is considered the extra amount that you chayev if anything happens to the ship, and three kurin for a large ship. Therefore, you can see from that the average size ship holds 30 kur. Again, like we said before, what's the nafkamina for that is as far as buying and selling. If you're going to be buying a boat, the understanding is that it's going to hold at least 30 kurim. If it ends up being smaller than that and it can't hold 30 kurim, mekachtos, then you get your money back because you got swindled over here. A kur is 30 saw. So in terms of
a saw is
6 cabin. It's 6 cabin. So to put it in
ship is 30 kur.
So an average size ship from those days could hold 30 kur. So let's put it this way. Let's think of it in terms of the size of a mikveh, of a shiur mikveh. I mean, the mikvahs that we toivel in are much larger than this, but okay, we'll use that as our baseline over here. A shiur mikveh is 40 saw, which is 1 1/3 kurim. So therefore, 30 kur therefore would come out to about 20. Would come out to about 20 of those. So in terms of, if you want to put it in terms.
30
of those.
Cores.
30 core would be 30 core would be what is it? 20 about 20 times the shiur mikveh.
Because mikveh is much more than.
Yeah, your mikveh nowadays are much larger than that anyway.
Like a small swimming
pool. Yeah, small swimming pool. Yeah, I guess.
Core is 1.3.
Is 1.3 mikveh? A core is 3/4 of a mikveh. Sorry, I got that backwards. A core is 30 saw. A mikveh is 40 saw. Sorry, I got that backwards.
Right. Yeah. So
it'd be like So if it's 3/4 of a mikveh, then yeah, you're talking. So you're talking about yeah. It would be 22.5 mikvahs. 22.5 mikvahs. Yeah. So, I mean, your average mikveh nowadays is larger than that. So let's say, I don't know, you take, for example, the Empire Stiebel mikveh over here. You multiply it by about, I don't know, 10 or so, and there's your svina, Okay.
Not big ships. Right?
Not particularly big. No, we're not talking the Titanic. That would be Bruni Gdola.
Not even the Enterprise.